In this episode of the On.NET Show, we're going to talk about some of the different protocols you could use to communicate with Azure Event Hubs inside of Azure. Check it out. Hey everyone, so we have yet another episode of the On.NET Show where we're going to be talking about messaging using Azure Event Hubs. Now in this particular video, I want to talk with our team a little bit about how the protocols work mm-hmm. and exactly what's happening underneath the hoods mm-hmm. for these messages to kind of go back and forth.
That's right. So when you're talking about Event Hubs, Azure Event Hubs, we are talking about supporting different protocols. Mm-hmm. You're talking about AMQP and Kafka. AMQP is our main protocol, and today we want to talk a little extensively on what AMQP, what WebSocket over AMQP and proxy support, proxy protocol support that we provide with Event Hubs, and we'll touch base a little bit on Kafka as well.
Okay, awesome. So kind of like what you said, let's start off with talking about AMQP. Mm-hmm. So really quick, like what does AMQP stand for?
Advanced Messaging Queuing protocol, if I'm getting it right. And the protocol that we support is AMQP 1.0. It's a OSS standard, mm-hmm. so the version number there matters a lot.
Right.
So there's a lot of difference between 1.0 and 0.9. So we use AMQP 1.0. And this is a protocol that's preferred by most financial enterprises as well. So.
The reason why I think that's important as well, and the fact that it's a standard, is one, this is not like a Microsoft thing. This is not like some proprietary made protocol for communication. It's an open standard.
Yes.
That means that there's different folks that support this open standard.
Correct.
And I'm going to also assume that that means that we can have standard AMQP clients and not Microsoft made clients or anything like
That's right.
That could use this and communicate with this protocol.
Yes.
So, you know, this is On.NET Show. We've been talking a lot about .NET, ensuring our .NET clients. But I'm guessing if we wanted to interrupt with other systems, where like I know Python has a set of APIs for AMQP, you know, Java does, like Go and all these other languages, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure it's very common for a lot of enterprises today to have more than one type of language and framework and whatnot.
Yes.
So this is a great integration point because we're using standard protocols.
Yes.
And again, like we have the power of the cloud, right? Like we have Azure to kind of help measure some of that load for
us. That's absolutely yes. So that makes on AMQP to talk a little bit.
That's right. We want to switch.
So tell us a little bit about our AMQP support, right? So we support AMQP 1.0.
We support AMQP 1.0 as the main like transport layer for us.
Okay.
Today, so our .NET SDK, which is the .NET standard, only supports this protocol. Both receiver and sender, and also the managed operations, which are get runtime information. Both on Event Hub and Partition, will also be running on the AMQP.
Okay, and so when I'm sending these AMQP messages, right? Like, so for instance, if I'm sending like an HTTP message, right? I'm going over like TCP and you know like there's different layers of the messaging stack. Like, is this AMQP formatted message, right? Is this going over HTTP? Is it just like a socket that I'm sending stuff over, like what is like
what happens is when you craft an event data and then put it on the event client for sending, the SDK will convert it into AMQP message, and then it will hand over this AMQP message to the service.
Okay.
And we only crack open the properties of the event, and then we don't touch the body. So the same thing happens on the receiver side, as a different way. So basically, the SDK will grab the AMQP message from the transport layer, and then it will convert into an event data.
Gotcha. So in addition to AMQP, I know there's some other things that you support, right? Like, I know you had mentioned WebSockets before. So are we sending AMQP messages over WebSockets? Is that what we're able to do?
AMQP over WebSocket, yes. That's a different port that you need to open up.
That's true. It's the same protocol, just running with the WebSockets wrapper.
Yes.
Okay. So to do this, do I have to do anything special in my code or in whenever I create my event hub in the namespace?
I can show you a code snippet for that one. In order to enable the AMQP over WebSockets, so basically you can grab the connection string from the portal, and on the you can build the event of connect string builder and assign MQP WebSockets as the transfer type to the connection string. So when you create the event app client with this connection string, so it will have this transport type property inside that. And your client will start talking through the WebSockets.
Gotcha. Okay. And so I guess on my side, on the client side, on in within my company or within my application, there's nothing special I really need to do, right? Like no special ports or anything like that do I need to open specifically for using WebSockets?
Oh no, actually like anyone can, if it's available, let's say they can go with the MQP port or just enable MQP WebSockets. Mm-hmm. So this will go through 443, so you can expect pretty much everywhere 443 will be enabled open for communication.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
okay.
It's a very base port for secure communication, secure so it should be available for most of the network configurations, I believe.
Got it. And I know there's some restrictions with some customers, right, and some enterprises that, you know, they might want to have a little bit more control over which port we speak over and like the type of information that goes over the port.
You want to sniff and then try to control your traffic and everything.
I mean, I might be a little nosy, right?
Yeah.
I want to know what's happening.
I know. That's where we have the proxy support on top of the WebSockets as well. So I think.
Yeah, enabling the web proxy or introducing it to your existing client is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. So we have this web proxy property on the client. Mm-hmm. So once you create the client, you can just create a web proxy which provides you what type of what server you are talking to, and is it going to be a secure communication, those kind of things. And then you can expect the rest of the things, let's say send, receive, every sort of API interaction is the same.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So this is just another option that we have now in terms of like sending or interacting with event hubs from within our company.
That's right.
That's great.
Okay. Now I know another protocol that I don't know if we can call it a protocol, but another feature that we have is the ability to speak. I guess the Kafka protocol is that accurate?
So let me say what we have done with enabling Kafka protocol on Event Hub. So Kafka is an open source protocol. The architecture of Apache Kafka and Azure Event Hubs is kind of apples to apples the same. It also has the same kind of send patterns. It also is a buffer. It also uses the partition consumer model where data coming in is distributed in partitions, either through partition key or partition ID or round robin, and then it also has multiple consumers consuming from Kafka in parallel. Pretty much the same. So we had many customers saying, yeah, Event Hubs is fine, but it only talks AMQP, and I'm looking something more like an open source, coming from an open source community. And we thought, why not get support a binary Kafka compatibility, because it's pretty much the same. So it helped us do a one-on-one mapping with, providing a binary compatibility with the Kafka protocol over AMQP. So what it gives you is a huge leverage of, if you were to migrate, or if you were to think of, Kafka, I want to move everything from Kafka cluster onto Azure.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can just use Azure Event Hubs. So with this binary compatibility, the clients that were talking Kafka can now, just with little configuration changes, talk to Event Hubs without even knowing that it's talking to Event Hubs. Now, Kafka is all great. We love Kafka. But with Kafka comes the overhead of managing the cluster itself.
Sure.
It is great for what it provides, but then it needs another orchestrator like Zookeeper, and also it has to be managed for its load balancing, for scaling up, for its OS updates, for security, for OS patches, for security, everything, even for networking. With Azure Event Hubs, or even Azure, you get this all by default. And Azure Event Hubs is a complete managed service by means it's like a PaaS service or a platform as a service, which does all the thing that you need to do with Kafka as an overhead by default.
Right.
So all you're using with Event Hubs is just the platform. I need to stream in, I need to talk to Kafka, I need to talk to something using Kafka protocol only, and all I want to be concerned with my streaming that's what Event Hubs is trying to solve.
Right.
So many customers have adopted this because it's very, they see this as a friend door to migration from their on-prem Kafka clusters, where they are just replicating using simple tools like MirrorMaker, which is provided by the Apache community itself. They just need to change the connection string or the configuration to point to Event Hubs, and the code, the consumer and producer code, without any code changes, works as is. So that's what the Kafka protocol compatibility gives you.
So that sounds like there's a tremendous amount of benefit there, right?
For
me, if I'm looking at a lift and shift scenario, right?
Exactly.
Where we talked a lot about.
That's right.
Like, I'm thinking about moving to the cloud. I'm thinking about taking some of my infrastructure and putting it over into Azure.
Correct.
You know, I could use Kafka using all the clients that I'm custom to using, the tools I'm custom to using.
Yes.
Speaking the same protocol.
Yes.
Just know it's managed by Azure. It's inside of Azure Event Hubs. I don't have to worry about the cluster or the administrivia of managing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but then my applications work the same way. I don't have to change code. I don't have to do a lot of messing around. And
that's right.
Oh, I'm looking at a new service now. Yes. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Just that somebody else is doing it for me.
Correct. And plus, also, once you're in Azure, your Event Hubs is already integrated with a lot of things like Databricks, data lakes, storage, functions, stream analytics. There is a plethora of integration options that you have. Plus, this is the Azure ecosystem that I'm talking about, plus the open source ecosystem where you're talking about Flink or Spark Streaming or any kind of Splunk or anything. So we open doors now to both. Like, it's an integration, it's a marriage, I would call, between the Azure ecosystem and the open source ecosystem.
Gotcha. And so I know with Kafka, the particular use case, a lot of folks use it for a lot of big data type scenarios, for a lot of, what do you call it, like the
data streaming
type scenarios and those types of things, right? And so, and like, kind of like what you mentioned before, right? We have Azure ML, and we even have the Spark for .NET library that we just released in preview not too long ago, right? So we have all these different options now that we can, party on with all the folks from the open source community.
That's right,
and the Java and the Python community.
Correct.
But then also, too, we could leverage some of our .NET skills and knowledge in Azure to be able to, effectively create some of those same types of solutions.
That's right. And with Event Hubs, because it provides the multi-tenant and the single-tenant offerings, so you can use Kafka on a multi-tenant, something like, I want to just do 1 MB. That's it, or 2 MB, or up to 20 MB. I don't want to run a big cluster to just do 2 MBPS or 20 MBPS. And because of this integration with Event Hub, this is possible.
Got it. So I know when I talk about, for instance, tools like Cosmos DB, where Cosmos DB has a compatibility layer, right, that we could enable MongoDB support.
Correct.
But that happens at creation time.
Yes.
Right? So when we're talking about Kafka support instead of Azure Event Hubs, is that something that I specify at creation time as well, or is that can I just always do it?
When we integrated this, we were asking the customers to enable the Kafka compatibility at creation time of Event Hubs. Now it's enabled by default. Even if you don't click that, it's enabled by default. So it's enabled on all namespaces. The other big advantage that I've seen, and customers love that, because this again comes to marriage between Azure and Kafka ecosystem, is they stream in through Kafka, stream out using AMQP. Now, how cool that is.
Okay.
So, or you can just come in through AMQP and go out using Kafka.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because of the binary compatibility.
Sure.
All
sure.
we do internally is mapping. It's quite straightforward for us, and we are in the streaming business for some time. We've been maintaining these clusters.
Gotcha.
So, but we do not run Kafka. We have our own homegrown services that we built on. But yeah, this has opened doors for the open source world.
Gotcha. That's awesome, man. So just in terms of Azure Event Hubs and Kafka, like, what are some of the scenarios that you're seeing our customers use this for instance?
Many use cases, like, typical streaming use case are like, you want to do change feed or you want to stream in logs.
Yeah.
These are some of the scenarios that customers used to do with Kafka and with Event Hubs.
Sure.
So now, it's it doesn't make any difference. Right. I can use like lift and shift with Kafka or directly with Event Hubs. I've also seen many customers stream in using Kafka, and they love the Azure ecosystem so much. Now they are like, what I can do with stream analytics or functions is great, so I want to just start doing that. So.
Awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm. Anything else we want to add while talking about Kafka and Event Hubs?
I would just say try it out.
Try it out, bro. That sounds great. And again, just like some of our other videos, we're going to make sure that we add like some show notes with links and docs and probably even samples if we have any.
That's right. Yeah.
And everybody could check them out
after you watch the video. There is a separate GitHub repo that we are maintaining for Kafka, where we specify different end-to-end tutorials, quick starts, different clients, different open source clients that and different ecosystem tools that we have integrated with. So I'll be happy to provide all the links in the video.
All right, great. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for coming on and sharing us all this great information about Azure Event Hubs. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching. Appreciate your time as well. And this has been another episode of the On.NET Show, where we've spoken about Azure Event Hubs. And specifically, we've talked about all the different protocols that you could use to communicate your streaming data.